So let us. There's a few more questions that I'll assign, but coordinator told me that I missed some questions. But if I'm doing it, then this 1 hour to be gone too. And if I don't do it, then it feels like it's not in. But we can do the one question, and then we can go back to the topic. And this one, question is, I might be wrong, but in the Bible, God says, they knew there are people who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Does this mean God has a predetermined who gets salvation and who does not? I think the Paul mentioned about if we are in the sinful life, it's just like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, then we cannot inherit the kingdom of heavens. And also the Ephesians 5 mentioned about that also. So we cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven means we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we cannot enter the kingdom of God. That means we cannot be saved. Simply, we can define that way. Inheritance is for the for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They that's a line of inheritance by the promise. Because Abraham, Isaac is not a first son, but God chose Abraham and then Isaac, not the Esau's, not the Ishmael's, and also Isaac. To Jacob, it's not a Jacob is the first son. Jacob is the second son. Actually, Esau is the one. But the line of the promise is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The line of the promise. And they are the one who inherit God's blessing to carry out, it continues. So we can call this one the firstbornship. So firstborn on the New Testament, the one who have a firstborn can inherit the promise of God. Now if you look at the Galatians, once you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, and then you can inherit the kingdom of God according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse from 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse from 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jews nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither the male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So if you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, your name is recorded in the book of life, then you are the one who inherit the kingdom of God. Please turn to one more verse. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Chapter 12, verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven and to God. But this is the one that... General assembly, all these people gathered together, they come to the Mount Zion. If you look at from the verse 22, the church of the firstborn. So you and I, we baptize in the name of Jesus, then you and I, we are to be the firstborn. Entire Bible, the focus, when God choose Israel, treat them all firstborn. all firstborns. But because of the work of the priesthood, and so that they choose the Levites for the representative of Israel. But actually, all 12 tribes is they all treat as a firstborn actually. But for the God's work purpose, they choose the Levites, the work for God. So that's how they do it. And let's look at the book of the Numbers. Yeah, Numbers. Numbers, maybe Numbers chapter 3. And Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3, verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying that now, verse 12, now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the wombs among the sons of Israel. So the Levites shall be mine. For all the firstborn, 13, are mine. On the day I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified myself all the firstborn in Israel. From man to beast, they shall be mine. I am the Lord. So the God talked to the Israel through the Moses that all the firstborn of Israel, not only the Levites, but Levites is representative of the firstborn. So they are the one that dedicated work for the tent of God. So all the Israelites, actually the firstborn from the people who are getting out of the Egypt. So once they go through the Passover, so they are the one saved by the blood of the lamb getting out. So they, God chose them as all the firstborns. Firstborn, the one only inherited their forefathers. For us, inherit the kingdom of God. So I'll rejoice. We know that when the Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sending out the 70 to the preach the gospel, and then they're coming back, they came back from they preached, and then they're so exciting about their work done, to be done. And by name of the Lord Jesus, and they're casting out the demons, they are subject to them by the name of the Lord. But Jesus mentioned about what you rejoice. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but the spirit are subject to you, but rejoice that your name are recorded in heaven. Your name is recorded in heaven. That means you are the one who inherit the kingdom of God. So our status, our blessing, is exceedingly great. Bible in the book of Revelation mentioned that if we keep our faith, overcome of all the challenges, we can sit actually next to the throne of the Lord our God. That's why, because our we are not only the chosen race. Have you noticed that? Peter, he described it. He gave us a very important our status. Right? So we can say, but you are the chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nations, people for God's own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And I mentioned about the chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, people for God's own possessions. This concept actually came from the Old Testament. If you look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possessions among all the people for all the earth of mine. And verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of a priest and a holy nation. And there are the words that you shall keep to the sons of Israel. So here God proclaims to his own people as my own possessions. And you shall be a kingdom of a priest and a holy nation. So here these verses explain us that we are the one who inherit the kingdom of God. Because we carry the kingship, actually. A book of Revelation, that we are all the kings, if you... that's okay. And so we are inherit the kingdom of God. And later said, does this mean that God has a predestined who gets the salvation and who does not? No, that's a little misunderstanding. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. This is our blessing, chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him, chapter 1, verse 4, book of Ephesians, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. But some people misunderstand that because Paul mentioned that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, means before the creations. So, that means if God chose us before the creation, already he determined, and then he's setting up the everything to set up has already been done that way. He knows that, so he can, ahead of time, this one kick him out, kick her out, and this one bring in it and bring in them. It's not the way. But we have to understand that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world means that's his ultimate divine choose, which means that God is beyond the time and space. You understand that? Beyond the time and space means there's no before and there's no after. Once he is there, he knows everything. It makes sense? Even before he created the man, Adam and Eve, at that time, he knew us already. He have known us already because of God. Only one can. That's why we can say God is Almighty God. Three aspects of Almighty God, remember? He can do everything. He knows. He can do everything. He knows everything. He can be everywhere. So beyond the time and space, his knowledge is beyond. So here mentioned about that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. It's not he first determined his own, so that this one, no matter what, no matter how bad this one can be saved, it's not that. Because if you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, you are in his plans that he already know beforehand, before the creations. That's what it meant. But you know that during the time of the Israelites getting out of Egypt, do you think they are predestined? Those who saved from the Passover, they're all predestined? Yes, they're all predestined because God promised them. You follow the column of fire and cloud and I'll lead you to the promised land. Their destination is already predestined. Those who do not believe in God, they do not know where they're going. Do you know what I mean? They do not know where they're going. But we know where they're going to. If they do not believe in God, they are also predestined to. For us, we know that, right? They do not know, but we know that those who do not believe in God, their destination is the lake of fires. Clear. But for us, the day we believe in the Lord Jesus, we baptize in the name of Jesus, the day our destiny is predestined by the Lord Jesus Christ. By his blood, make it possible for our predestined, our destination. You know what the destination means? You have to reach to there. I mean, logically, you think about it. Predestined, destiny is your destination is there. Predestined, God arranged us to be destined to be there. But we have to make a journey to be reached to there. That's a concept. But the many denominations, they think the predestined, that means they're already predestined. So whatever they do, they can be saved. That's a misunderstanding. Yeah. So the book of Ephesians, let's go look at it. The Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The work out your salvation means help yourself also to reach to the way, the road of the salvation. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and true and the life. We have to get into the way. This is the narrow way. We have to reach to the destiny. That is already assigned to us. So predestination, don't misunderstand. He already fixed. Destination is fixed. It makes sense? So, do you have any question out of there? Predestinations? Because other denomination, there's once you save, you save. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you have to walk in your path. Yeah. Remember when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and how can I obtain the to eternal life? Keep the commandments. Yeah. If they do not keep the commandments, then they cannot reach the kingdom of God. It's very simple, right? So this is, we can call the journeys. This is a journey to the kingdom of God. This is not but yet the difference between all the New Testaments, we are in the salvation already. That's the difference. Old Testament, nobody had a promise. You know that? Even include Abraham. There wasn't when he calling him, but it doesn't mean that any promise like we have it. But for us, it's different. Because we already applied by the blood of Jesus. Our sin is washed away. No matter how great in the Old Testament, anybody you can name them, Isaiah is a great prophet, Elijah, Elisha, they're all the great prophets, yet they don't have a promise like we have it. Of course, they are saved. What I'm saying is the status-wise, our life we live in this world, we are more higher, actually. So that's what we so-called, therefore, under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference by law and under the grace of Jesus, that's the difference. Any question about this predestined? God has predestined who get salvation? Yes.
So those that God did predestine, no matter what they do or they not.
Have you noticed the Lord Jesus comes to repent, and then also that his message is believe in me. Believe me. So anybody who do not believe in him, then even the Lord offered to us that we don't believe it, that we cannot coming into his predestination. It makes sense? If we do not accept his invitation, then we are not into his predestination. Mm-hmm. In this world, everybody already predestined anyway. It depends on your choice that the predestination is fixed. If you don't believe in God, it's a predestined tour. But your destination is quite clear, It's a lake of fire. But for us, we believe in God. Why we put effort? Because we make this journey to be successful. Victorious way to reach to our destiny. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. Okay. Any? Don't be confused about the predestination. So when you talk to the other denominations, they mention that once saved, then yeah, always. But this is not true in the Bible concept wise. Yeah. Hopefully you can clear about this. And then there were several questions, but that one I can do later, okay, when the other class. Otherwise, it's now we can go back to the topic who has the virtue of the Christ. The second one, the joy. When there is an airplane flying on the They're flying on the air. The one young man put on the earphone, and he listening. I don't know what he's listening then. But at that time, there is a turbulence. It's kind of shaking the airplanes. It got in getting a little bit. It's shaking more. But this young man alone. The rest of them all a little bit scared. But this young man alone, laughing at alone himself, and then, for only just have a different nature to be within all the passengers, and then find out what's going on, because he listening and put in the earphone, the listening the I think humorous listening for entertain himself. Christian life is a similar way. When other people scare, we don't scare. When other people sorry, but we don't feel sorry. So when other people try to cry, but we are so happy about our life. That's a Christian life. One time in the book of Acts, you see that when Apostle Paul, when he was on the sending tour to the Rome's, by the ship, at that time, centurion brought him and to bring him to the, let him, to, because he appealed to the Caesar. So he's on the way. There's a storm came, remember? But that time, all the rest of those, from the centurions, sailors, everybody's, they all was scared. Paul raised his hand and said, "You don't have to worry about it. No one died. How do you know?" I said, "The Lord Jesus last night told me." So you don't have to worry about it. But then ship only. But what the ship is, it's to be, the ship is the one to be lost, but all our life to be saved. He knows that. This is a Christian's confidence. If you know the Lord Jesus, you have a confidence of this. Do you remember what in the Bible, the Second King? There is one Elisha when it was surrounded by the Aram army. Remember at that time? Yeah, where is it? This one is in the 2 Kings chapter 6, I mentioned that here. Because the nation of the northern kingdom was continuing to be protected, and then the north side of Aram trying to keep on attacking, but they always prepared. So they sending the nighttime to their troop to catch him so that they can eventually make a victory. But that time they come and they surround this man of God's place. At that time, the man of God's servant came out. He saw that, wow, the enemy surrounded. At that time, Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And that's 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. The man of God says, he always can be secure because he knows that God protects him. Because he can see the verse 17. Elisha prayed for his servant. "Oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He saw the mountain was full of horses of chariot of fire all around Elisha. Because our joy, we think about our joy. In this world, it looks like the same out there. All the normal people. But don't think that. You are special. You are special. Because your name is written in the book of life. You are very special. Why you have to rejoice? Because of that. Have you noticed that your parents, when you bring your activity, the pictures bring to your home, then your mom, your parents always look at you? No matter how many hundred people around in the picture, only your mom and daddy find out who you are there. Don't you think so? You know, when your parents look at the pictures, you are not there. This picture is meaningless. You know that? Well, no matter what kind of pictures, even any president there, but if you are not there, parents look at it, it is garbage. True. But if you are there, it's a different story. If you are there, it's a different story. Yeah. God remember us. God watch over us. Because we are His children. That's why we have a great reason to be rejoicing. Of course, sometimes a class, you cannot get A, so you feel disappointed. But that's actually a great blessing. I always worry about I cannot get a C. But then it's okay. You know, I'm a children of God. I'm a child of God. The rejoice. So whenever in your life encounter facing some problems, that's okay. Why God give you the encounter difficulties and trials? Then there's a purpose. You just find out the purpose. Yeah. Sometimes God give you maybe handicap too. And in your life, maybe because of your life to be quite kind of stressful too. But God wants to mold us to be like Him. That's why we have to rejoice. You know, non-Christian out there, they have no purpose for their life. Do you know that? For our parents, only looking for my own children's purpose. That's their interest. All the rest of them is extra. Don't you think? Yes. For from the God's point of view, you are the one of focus your life. God is focus your life. When you do the good things, He rejoices. Other people good thing to do it, then that's just a reference. Do you know what I mean? God always watch over us, so His rejoice is coming from you and me. Yeah. So this wonderful, wonderful blessing. You can, rejoice always. In 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always. Whether outside the temperature different and here and there, but, you know, inside of the here is we always cool and nice. Don't be careful for the kitchen cold anyway. But we can rejoice inside. How wonderful life that He provided us. I ask you when we can rejoice anyway beside that. When we can rejoice. Beside your name is written in the book of life. Beside it. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria. When you have true freedom, freedom gives us a joy. Have you noticed, because when you work through the whole day, if you have a boss and you have a supervisor, always pick on you and things always, and then you go home, how you can relax? Take out your tie away, and then if you have a pants, you just take out your belt away. Because for me, it's take out my pants and then relax myself, and then home is freedom. Nobody bothers me. Oh, yes. We talk about the freedom is precious. Have you noticed that we talk about, when I was in the sit down there, we talk about, you know, Genesis chapter 1 to through those, how the Adam and Eve, when they commit sin, once they open to the eyes to expose to the sin, that is the disaster coming into their life. Once they commit sin, then no longer their life to be free. Have you thought about Adam and Eve, their life in the Garden of Eden? The naked two persons, they enjoy their life. True freedom. True freedom. There's no shame. Can you image? It's okay. But, you know, in the Garden of Eden, how wonderful their life. Because true freedom. True freedom. So when the Lord Jesus came to us, what he gave us is this true freedom. Let's turn to the book of John. Let's turn to John chapter 8. But there is options. This one we have to be in so that we can have freedom. John chapter 8 from verse 31. Jesus therefore was saying to those, John chapter 8 verse from 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciple of mine." Verse 32. "And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." 33. Then answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring, have never yet been enslaved to anyone." Actually, they were enslaved. Later we can find it. "To anyone, how is it you say you shall become free?" Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." 35. "And the slave does not remain in the house of forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus mentioned, "You shall know the truth." The truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth means that we follow our action, means that we are abiding in his word. Once we abide in his word, we have a true freedom. Have you noticed that when David confronted the Goliath, have you noticed that he's full of freedom at that time? All of them, through the King Saul, all the rest of the generals, all the soldiers, they was under the great fear because they cannot confront Goliath. Have you seen that? But David is a young man, not even reach up to 20, so maybe 16, 17 around, 18 around that ages, he already feels the freedom of himself because God is with him. God is with him. So the one who come a challenge to God, he can right away to come up stand to the Goliath. That's true freedom. Once we have a true freedom, because the truth be with us, we no longer live not in the sin within us. Then there's a confidence. No one can surely come to us to bother us. Because we are in his truth, in his kingdoms, in his protections. So then there is a true joy, true satisfaction. We can think about the freedom means what? What do you think? What is a freedom? What is your definition of your freedom? Whatever you like to do? Everything? Liberty. Yeah, liberty. What? Can you elaborate on liberty? Freedom. That is, whatever you like to choose is considered freedom. Yeah. You know, naturally, your desire to choose and seeking the good things. That's true freedom. That's true freedom. Because from the beginning, our God created us in his images. Have you noticed that when you choose the wrong things, you are very hesitated at the beginning? Your nature's within you. Sometimes I see that in the movie, even because I like the Korean gangsters movie before, but sometimes even the gangsters, they're trying to kill somebody, they hesitated. I saw it. Because they know it is not right. They know it is not right. Of course, they end up, they're occupied by the evils, continue. And then is a different story. But at the beginning stage, they hesitated. Because God built in our image, you're supposed not to do that. But you need to have a will in yourself. You know that you're supposed not to do that. Then why are you doing it? Because your flesh is stronger than what you're supposed to do, the good things, right? Then you're losing your freedom, actually. So true freedom is we are within Christ. We follow work with Him. And we choose what the things are, the right things. So it makes us to be satisfied. And also it makes us to be feel the accomplishments. Have you noticed that when you help somebody, the right away you feel good? One time there was I was in the Chicago to helping the remote area. On the way back, we stopped by the gas stations. I put my gas first, and my car pulled into the parking lot for the restroom pee stop, which is the double purpose. One is a gas and pee stop together. And then I turn around, and there's a van coming in to, and then this man is a handicapper. I see that nobody help him, so I had to walk to him. Do you need help? Can I help the pumping to your car? And he says, okay. He just looked at me. He said, okay. And then we chit-chat about it. And then later he said, thank you. No, don't thank me. It's my pleasure. And I have to finish the helping just 1 minute. You know, it's 1 minute I help and finish up and close it for the cab. That's it. I have to turn around. Feels good. More than $10. More than $20 feeling. Maybe somebody give me $20. I don't feel that much. It feels good. Do you know what I mean? If this feeling is it's not a $20, $50, $100 feeling. It is different. Because we built in. God, when the image of God within us, when we do the right things, this is our freedom of choice. But when we do it, then joy is the returning back to us. It's not so happy about it. It's not. But somehow there's a smile on the face because inside of me feels good. True joy. If we stay in the truth. I think it's, you know, because your age is now... a lot of the challenge, a lot of the goal that you can set up, and at the same time, a lot of temptation also. Every time you overcome it, you can feel the accomplishments. The moment you can feel the we can call it as a feeling of victorious, feeling of victory. It makes us a very different life. Every time we fail one by one, later, we're losing our own confidence within us. The spiritual confidence, we can say, our Christian confidence, then we become a loser later. But once we have experience of victory, life changed. That victory make us another victory. I heard that the golf, the LPG and anybody who do not have experience of the first one, the championship, anybody haven't have a championship, they always, even though they're great skill, but they never have top. So anybody who have a experience of championship, they are the one with potential to be championship leader. That's what one of the article I read it. So for all the players, important thing is experience of championship. Once they experience the win the whole game, then that experience motivate them to the later on to another championship to be won too. So same thing in the Christian life, victory. It is another way of joy our life. If you are in the temptations, if you are in the situation, there is a challenge, something. Hopefully, you can make the victories there, so that you can experience of true joy. Please turn to the book of John. Well, this is the piece about joy actually included that we can think about it. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have a peace. In the world you have a tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. The reason of the Lord Jesus, he's a true peace and he's a true victory bring him to be a true confidence. We also too, because we have the Spirit of God that within us. And John chapter 14 mentioned that the helper, the within us, the peace, the live with us. We don't have to be fear. Chapter 14, 27 says, so be happier. Now, the happy is not the word. Be rejoice all the time. Because your name is written in the book of life. And also, we make victories against the sin. And also, the truth is within us. Also, God is within us. Especially the Spirit of God within us forever. Why not be rejoice? Because we lost $10,000? That's okay. God will, recover, soon anytime. So. Money is not an issue in this world, but the true rejoice coming from this confidence of God, of true God with us, and for our salvation. We know our ultimate, destiny. So. How wonderful it is. Joshua and the Caleb, both of them, they go through together for 40 years, but they made victories. Because they believe, for their destiny is given to them. So this is the true victory. Joy. Joy is precious. Joy is, in a sense, a relationship. When you have a distance from God, no matter what, you cannot rejoice. Solomon at the beginning, he was with God. He's the one God assigned him to build the temple of God. He was a great joy, actually. And then when through the night after, what is a, is it 10,000, 1,000 offering? Oh, I forgot. And then God showed up to him in the overnight. What can I do for you? I hope God one day to show up to me. What can I do for you? Then, please prepare. Anything that, God asks, you can, think about it. If God come to me through the overnight and then ask me, what can I do for you? Then you can ask the best one you can prepare to talk to him. The God says, surely I will do for you. Then next morning your life is different. Solomon's. Relationship. If you're close to God, God is be with you. The blessing is with you. Wherever the Abraham goes, God is with him. You are the source of the blessing. When you bless somebody, then that person to be blessed. It is wonderful in his life. Relationship. We have to always check the relationship. If we are in the sinful life, turn away. That doesn't give us any joy. Maybe there is a kind of pleasure within there. Possible. Yeah. But after a few days of the pleasures, later you find out the vanity. That's what Solomon's his life. At the beginning, his life was joyful because God's wisdom was with him. But later, he departed from God. No longer the joy, but always he find out the vanity. Because he lost the true joy when he departed from God. Let's all pray in silence. Amen.